Shogger, how you doing?
Doing well, guys.
Now, by chance, did you go to either the NFL or the baseball game when you were there?
I went to the baseball game on Sunday night with Ace cameraman David Parker.
Now, how hard was it to get tickets?
It was easy. We just grabbed them off StubHub. I mean, they were, I don't know, we paid about $100 or something a ticket. So it was a little more than I probably would like to have paid for a baseball game. But, you know, went in Rome, and it was happening, so we went. And it was pretty cool. I hadn't been to a playoff baseball game before, so quite enjoyed myself.
Now, did you happen to see the 3-foot-long hot dog that they were showing and a few of the fans were eating on TV? Like, it was, you know, probably the grossest meal I've ever seen people eat. But was it seriously that big in person? Like, I know you didn't eat it, but are you sure he
did? I made the mistake of not eating before we got there. And so I had to partake of the ballpark food. And, well, let's just say healthy options are not exactly plentiful. So I didn't see it. Wouldn't surprise me. I know what I ended up eating it was a bit of a tough go for me. So it's not the healthiest food you'll find. So no, I didn't see it, but it wouldn't surprise me at all. And they had this other thing, this inside out hot dog. It was obscene. It was ridiculous.
What is that? Mijo's face lit up like a Christmas tree, like the coolest thing he's ever heard. What's an inside out hot dog?
I don't even know. It was just this.
Like two wieners in a bun?
There's no way to describe this without sounding like an idiot and giving you a bunch of...
No, describe it. I want you to describe it because we don't know what it means. Just describe it. Trust me, we're not recording this.
Giant hot dog split in half, sort of, and it was essentially the bun with more hot dog inside. It was like dog inside dog. It was no good at all. Both Parker and I just nearly gagged when we looked at it. It was just awful.
I mean, it sounds pretty awesome.
I ended up going with a hot dog. The relish was like fluorescent green for some reason. I have no idea why. It wasn't good. The food was not good. Chased it with a bag of caramel corn. So I was not feeling great by about the fourth inning. I'm not going to lie to you.
Well, speaking of not feeling great, Taylor Hall, is it the flu? What do you think? Is he going to play tonight?
I don't know. He was at the rink this morning and then left before the skate. So, honestly, I'm not sure. I think Todd was hopeful that he would play, but didn't know. I think it was just a matter of seeing how he felt through the afternoon. They're 0-2. They need him. So I would say if there's any way for him to play at all, he probably should. So, I'll take a flyer and say sure. But there was really no indication either way from McClellan.
But he was skating yesterday, correct?
Yeah, he skated yesterday, and Todd said last night was when he got word that Taylor wasn't doing very well. And so this morning he was at the rink and then gone before the skate, and I assume just loading up on Gatorade and chilling out through the day.
The Oilers, they're 0-2, Ryan. Their defensive game, excluding the three glaring errors, has been actually pretty solid. Offensively, though, they have done virtually nothing. I went back and rewatched both games. I counted combined 10 scoring chances, and that's in two games, and not a lot of them were, like, great scoring chances. Let's start with the power play, as what you're seeing is not working on the man advantage.
Yeah, well, first of all, they're having a tough time getting the zone. Their entries were really off, really both nights. But in particular against Nashville, their zone entries were terrible. They were having a tough time just skate the puck with any sort of control over the line and getting set up. And the timing was off. Nashville was easily finding ways to kind of thwart them. So that was no good. And then when they were getting it in, it just didn't last very long. And as soon as there was a puck battle necessary, they weren't able to win them. So Nashville was outworking them in the corners, and they were stopping them from gaining the zone. And it just turned out to be a really ineffective power play for a lot of the night. So, I mean, the zone entries, I can sort of understand. They're being asked to do new things and a little bit of a different system and a few different options. And so they're working some kinks out. But there's no excuse to be losing battles on the power play. You need to be outworking the penalty kill on the power play, and they clearly weren't.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joined us. So will we see now Taylor Hall's kind of, he was in a different spot on the power play than we've seen in the past, Ryan. Todd McClellan, like I'm assuming he's getting used to some of the players, and there's probably open dialogue on where they set up. And regardless of where you set up, I agree with you wholeheartedly, their effort needs to be better just outworking them. But do you see him changing the positioning of some guys on the man advantage?
Well, they didn't yesterday at practice, they hadn't really changed much. They still had Hall kind of out at that point position on the power play, which I mean, I don't necessarily love. I don't know if that's the best spot for Taylor. So I don't know if he's going to move guys around or not. They didn't really have much for changes at practice yesterday, and that's where they worked on it mainly. They just worked on their entries and worked on and he had them doing a lot of battles and stuff, sort of puck retrieval type stuff in the corner. So it was pretty clear he was frustrated too with the same things. But I don't, and it depends if Taylor's in the lineup or not, but they didn't show any really major changes in practice yesterday at all.
Overall, you know, Todd McClellan, it was interesting. I think it was the question you asked him when he said, well, I'll be honest, lack of offense wasn't something I thought would be an issue. And, their play away from the puck has been pretty solid, especially, you know, their overall awareness, as I mentioned, excluding the major turnovers. And really those were, you know, you combine it for 10 seconds of the 120 minutes they played. Otherwise I thought they'd been pretty solid in their puck control and everything. What is it about just 5-on-5 play? We talk about the power play being bad, but are those guys thinking too much defensively right now? Are they not attacking when they should be? What are you seeing 5-on-5? Or was it just they went up against two really good defense corps?
Yeah, I think it's probably a little bit of both. But really, if you look at the St. Louis Blues and their D corps, at least their top four anyway, that's a pretty good top four. And then the Nashville Predators, you can make the argument that their goaltender plus their six defensemen, there's nobody better in the entire league. The Nashville's sixth defenseman and goaltender, that combination. So all that equals not a lot of offense being generated. And then you consider that the Oilers have, you know, in McDavid a rookie, Slapshev a rookie. They've got Jordan Eberle out. So Hall was just okay in both games. They need him to be motor. And he's one of the ones with experience and skill. And he needs to, in games where they're outmatched, he needs to be a difference maker. And wasn't able to be in either game. So I think it's a combination of Taylor maybe not being on it and playing against teams that are just that good on the back end.
Have you felt any kind of a letdown in the just in talking to the guys around the dressing room in terms of emotionally? I mean, we've seen a lot of bad years in a row, and we are hoping they start to right the ship. Do you feel anything kind of negative waves emanating from that dressing room since you've been around?
Yeah, no, it hasn't been that bad the last couple of days. They've had a few days off here in Dallas, and it's since they moved to 0-2, I think they've been okay. They had a day off, and they spent the day together. Well, not together, but kind of some of the guys went to the games, and then they had a good hard practice yesterday. I think Todd is doing his best to keep things positive and to preach positive things while correcting what's needed. It's probably a little early for guys to get too down in the mouth. Not scoring yet. That would suck for them. And I think there's some frustration happening. So that, I think, I mean, they got to put some goals in, and I think they're really hoping that they'll be able to tonight. But I think more than anything, if they were 0-2, but had, you know, 3, 4, 5 goals on the year already, then you wouldn't have this thing hanging over their head with the offense. I think that maybe adds a little bit to it, puts some pressure on guys. You know, McDavid included. I think he's been putting a lot of pressure on himself, and he talked a little bit about that yesterday, about how he kind of needs to not to do that, and McClellan said the same thing. So it's a little bit of a goose egg that needs to be broken open offensively, and I think maybe some stress will come out of the room when that happens.
Well, they're going up against a Dallas team that folded pretty easily in the last 25 minutes against Colorado, allowed 5 goals in 25 minutes. And their defense corps, well, okay, is definitely not close to Nashville and St. Louis, Ryan. So, you know, the Oilers, if they have Hall, obviously, you know, that will help. Now, if they do have Hall, do you see the lines then going back to Pouliot with McDavid and Yakupov, and then Hall back with Nugent-Hopkins and Purcell? And if not, then Korpikoski slides up and Pouliot moves up with Nugent-Hopkins?
I think so, yeah. So if Hall's available, he'll go with Nugent Hopkins and Purcell, and then Pouliot goes down with McDavid, Yakupov, Korpikoski to the third line, and one of either Gazdik or Klinghammer comes out. I think that'll be the case. The other change I think we could see, and this is just a gut feeling based on the way Todd answered a question today, I think if Taylor Hall's not available to play tonight, I think Griffin Reinhart will.
Now, why is that?
I think the intention was to get Brandon Davidson a game here, but I think Todd McClellan knows Griffin Reinhart's his best chance at having a good third pairing, a solid third pairing tonight, but I think he feels some pressure to try and get Davidson into the game. So if they're coming in tonight watered down offensively without Taylor Hall, I think he'll dress Reinhart over Davidson in his third pairing rather than use the game to try and get a guy in when I think there's a better option. But this is the problem with eight defensemen. Griffin Reinhart should have played all three games on this trip. He should have. He was good in the first game. There was nothing wrong with him in the first game. He was one of only a few defensemen that had a decent night. But they feel obligated to get Ferentz in. So they get Ferentz in, he makes a monumental mistake. They feel obligated to get Davidson in. So Davidson is going to play tonight. Reinhart might as well have gone down to Bakersfield and played both games over the weekend rather than just sitting in the press box. But you're carrying eight defensemen for some reason and feeling obligated to try and get these guys into games, and Reinhart is the easy solution. He played well in the first game. He should have played the next two.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I didn't think he played bad enough to sit out two straight games. And that leads me to my final one for you, Ryan. So let's say Hall plays and then he sticks with his sixth defense. How long is this rotation of the number six defenseman going to go? Because if Reinhart, I'm assuming it's his turn, so he plays Thursday. If he plays well, does it matter? And now does Greiba come out? Like, has McClellan given you any insight on the road as to what his plan is with his third pairing defense?
No, he's basically just juggling. I don't think he wants eight defensemen. I'm not sure where. And listen, Brandon Davidson is a great story, right? He really is. We all know. I mean, what he's overcome. You know, he's a cancer survivor. He's gutsy, and I have a ton of respect for his story. But, you know, this is the NHL. I'm not sure where in the organization this great fear exists that they're going to lose him if they put him on waivers. But somebody somewhere in the organization, I'm assuming it's Peter Chiarelli, although I don't know how well he knows the player, is worried they're going to lose him on waivers, and so he's been sticking around.
Yeah,
and it's getting in the way of them doing what they should be doing, which is playing the proper guys. If Ferentz needs to sit, fine. Davidson's a young defenseman. Get him down to the minors. Get him playing. If you lose him, you lose him. Everybody has to make tough decisions. There have been decent defensemen on waivers in both of the last couple of days. So it's not going to be the end of the world if they do end up losing them. But instead, they've got their NHL head coach having to make difficult decisions because he's got to get guys in and can't leave them sitting forever. It's no good.
Schroger, enjoy the game tonight, and whatever you do, make sure you eat before you go to the rink. We don't want you eating any inside-out hot dogs.
No, the media meal in Dallas is classic. I don't know if you saw my tweet this morning.
Oh, I did.
Guys.
I saw your tweet. Dallas Aikens was cringing.
Yeah, no, the Dallas PR staff puts out trays of bacon this morning with the media guides and stuff. It was unbelievable. Now, you might not believe me. I didn't have any. Parker had like half of a tray, but they had bacon, hot bacon, sitting there waiting for the media. You talk about sucking up and trying to win favor.
Smart strategy. And you didn't buy in. I love it. Char, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, guys.